Hello, beloved. What a wonderful privilege it is to be with you and to be able to share with you, and specifically with regards to looking at the world through the Word of God, which means when we look at the world, it's very simple or very easy to look at the world through our own human understanding. But it's much better to take the glasses of the Word, which means I read the Bible, I study the Bible, and then I look at the world through what I read in Scripture. So that Scripture actually enables me to make sense of what's happening in the world. And that's what I would like us to do, even in this this session. Now, let's close our eyes, and we just pray to the Almighty God for His guidance and His direction. Heavenly Father, thank You that we can come to You. Thank You for the privilege of calling upon Your name. And thank You so much that we can ask You things. And Father, we know that You answer our prayers. So I want to pray that You will please open up our minds and our hearts to receive and understand Your Word and the things that's happening in this world as we look at it through Your Word. But then I also pray, Father, that You will open up our hearts to receive Your Word and to receive the truth, and that the truth will set us free. And enable me as Your servant, Father, to teach Your people so that Your name may be glorified in and through each and every one of us who believe. Go before us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I came across this interesting article. It was written on the 11th of June. And it basically says the following. It says the collapse of societies is first and foremost a result of rejecting God. And I believe it is such an important, how can I say, statement that is made. The heading, the collapse of societies is first and foremost the result of rejecting God. Beloved, you remember what is said in Acts, the book of Acts. That God is the one who, set the boundaries of the nations, the time that they would stay in a specific area, so that they would seek God and hopefully to find Him. Right? So when a nation is placed in a specific area where they are supposed to seek God and then find Him, and they just don't care. They just don't do it because they reject God in the first place. If that is the case, then what you're going to find is you're going to see a gradual, slow collapse of those societies where God is not first and foremost in their minds. Now, the article says the following. It starts off like this. It says, what's the point of praying for our nation? Now, this is an article written in America, so it's for the United States, but I believe we can apply it to each and every country on the face of this planet. We can apply it to every single nation. The article continues to say that we pray because we know that nations succeed when they submit to God. We know that. Look at the nation of Israel. In the Old Testament, we read clearly, when Israel submitted to God, when they acknowledged God, when they worshiped God, when they, when they submitted to His will, what happened? They succeeded. And once they succeeded, everybody could see that they were blessed by God. Okay? But then, it says, the article continues to say, speaking about the nations that succeed when they submit to God, it says, and they doom themselves when they don't. So nations who do not submit to God, they basically doom themselves. They put a curse on themselves. That's basically what it boils down to. The article continues to say that a nation doesn't first and foremost need good social policies, nor a strong economy, nor a healthy justice system. To be sure, these things are all incredibly important. But what a nation needs first and foremost is a heart that submits to God, for from it all else flows. And this is where Proverbs comes in. We read in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So all the issues of life comes out of the heart. And Jeremiah tells us that deceptive is the heart above all things, who can know it? We know that only God knows the heart. Okay, but if your heart is sold out to God, if your heart is submitted to God, if your heart longs after God, beloved, then all else flows from the heart, which means that if your heart is sold out, the things that will flow from it will be blessing. No? It will be success. You will see it flow from a nation of people who submitted themselves to God. But if you do not submit to God, and your heart has turned evil and wicked, you're going to see that as well. You're going to see how everything but God is the most important thing, whether it's social policies or social correctness or economy or what else can we say? A healthy justice system, justice for all, and equality, and all these kind of things. Everything else will become more important. And it's because God is not first and foremost in their minds. You see, when secondary things become primary, beloved, we can be sure of it, that at the end of it, we can know God is not center or central. Because if God is central, then the Spirit of God that dwells within us will make sure that we, how can I say, prioritize things to such an extent that the things that is priority to God will become priority not just in our own personal lives, but also in the life of the nation. Now, the greatest commandment, you know what it is? To love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Mark chapter 12. Now, if we look at the greatest commandment, the article says it is to love God with everything that we have. And if you think about it, these incredibly important things, you know, like good policies and strong economies and healthy justice systems, are applicable of the second greatest commandment, which is to love my neighbor as I love myself. So these good policies and good judicial system and a strong economy and people having jobs and things going well in people's lives, if those things are in place, then it's supposed to be a reflection of the second commandment, that we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We want to see our neighbors flourish. We want to see our neighbors prosper. We want to see our neighbors being blessed. We want to see our neighbors, live in such a way that it honors and praises and glorifies God. That's what we want to see. Because it's what the second commandment basically tells us. I love my neighbor as I love myself. So I want to see the best for my neighbor. But that's the second commandment. That will always only flow from the first commandment, which means which basically boils down to loving God above all. Right, I hope that makes sense. So it's of uttermost importance, beloved. Uttermost importance. That the collapse of a society is first and foremost the result of the people rejecting God. And by the way, you can still profess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, no? You can still say, no, Jesus, and talk about the church and talk about all kinds of stuff, which means the profession is there. It doesn't mean you're saved. Jesus said, in those days, people will come and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not done miracles in your name? And he will say to me, or to them, go away. I know you not. I don't know you. So, the most important thing for every single nation. Beloved, and that's what I want to encourage us to do, is that we will pray for the people of South Africa. Obviously for the rest of the world as well, but we are staying in South Africa. We are part of the Rainbow Nation. So when we pray for this Rainbow Nation, when we pray for the people of South Africa, when we pray for the leaders of South Africa, when we pray for the government and all the political parties and the opposition and all kinds of things, if we pray, or when we pray for this country, I think what needs to be on our priority list is to pray that God will be first and foremost in the minds and the hearts of the people of South Africa. Because then, and only then, will the second commandment, to love neighbor as I love myself, and to look after my neighbor through social, how can I say, social works or social things that is done. How can I say, looking out for my neighbor, loving my neighbor, not wanting to see the worst for them, but to see the best for them. Only if God is number one, can we in any way rely on the fact or know that our neighbor will also be blessed in the process. And beloved, that's what we want to see. We want to see people blessed. But it flows from the fact that we know Christ. We love God. And that He is first and foremost in our lives. There's an article that I found very interesting. I don't know when it was written. I can't find when it was written. But it was during this past week, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Could be maybe a little bit older, but it's a recent article. And the heading of the article is that Israel may be on the brink of war with an opponent much deadlier than Hamas. Beloved, what we see here is fulfillment of prophecy. While it's been going on for since Jesus ascended into heaven, but when we look at this heading, it tells us about a prophecy that Jesus gave 2,000 years ago when he said to his disciples, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars." So what is happening is this specific article is talking about wars and rumors of wars. Now we know, because we kind of, if you listen to the news, you will know, because it's all over the news. We know that there is war in Israel, or between Israel and Hamas. We know that. And there's instability in the Middle East, like you cannot believe, and massive role players are getting involved. Russia is getting involved. It's huge, massive. Iran is involved, which is Persian, eh? The Persian Empire, many years ago. But anyway, this article says, and it's from the End Time Headlines, it says, with Israel on the verge of a third full-blown war against Hezbollah because of the Lebanese organization's constant firing of deadly missiles and drones and rockets, the differences and similarities between Hezbollah and Hamas are now under the microscope. The Islamic Republic of Iran finances the Mid East terrorist movements like Hamas and Hezbollah, who have declared war on Israel and who are also responsible for committing numerous terrorist attacks against American civilians and military service personnel. Now, Fox News Digital contacted experts for what they call a tail of the tape analysis of Hamas, which is situated in the southern Gaza Strip, and also of Hezbollah, which is the de facto ruler of the Lebanese state on Israel's northern border. Now, Israel has fought two wars against Hezbollah. One was in 1982, and the other one was in 2006. Okay. And now I would like to just quote Jonathan Conricus. He says that Hezbollah is the crown jewel in the Iranian Empire of terror and evil, and is by far the most powerful Iranian proxy equipped with nation-state capacities and even with more firepower than several European militaries than what they have today. And Jonathan Conricus is basically a senior fellow at the Foundation of Defense and Democracies. And he was a former IDF Israeli Defense Force spokesman. And he told this to Fox News Digital. Now, why am I sharing this with you? Beloved, it seems like the war is shifting from Gaza. And I think when Israel has given a very, very hard, or let's say a devastating blow to Hamas, and I'm talking about a devastating blow, that most of the leadership of Hamas has been taken out and their weapons have been destroyed, then it seems as if the focus of Israel will be shifting towards Hezbollah in the north. But then you don't only have Hezbollah in the north, in Lebanon, in that area, you also have Syria. And inside of Syria is soldiers from Iran, from Russia. There are these militia groups in Iran, in Syria as well. So things are tough for Israel. Beloved, so I believe what we need to do is to pray. Not to pray, well, we can pray for a ceasefire, we can pray whatever is laid on our hearts, but I believe we need to pray that God, in His great mercy, will, will have mercy and intervene. And beloved, it's not because He has to. God doesn't have to do anything. But we're praying for His mercy. We're praying that He would be gracious. Many, many people are dying. And children are dying, and women are dying. And obviously, I mean, I was listening to the 8 Israeli men that died not too long ago. Defense Force guys whose names were made known. I think the one was a captain, and he was 24 years old. Young. Very, very young. You know, so and then I listen to others who died, and I hear they were young. When they passed, they were young. So, beloved, let's pray that God's will be done. Let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We need to do that. It's part of what the Bible tells us to do. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, which means pray that God's peace will come upon Jerusalem, upon Israel, and upon the Middle East. And may God grant peace in the Middle East. May God grant peace in Israel. May God grant peace among the nations, even though He said, we know that there will be wars and rumors of wars, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. We know this is going to happen. Jesus prophesied it. He said it would happen. And we can trust Christ because his prophecies, all of it, has come to pass. So those that we can measure, they've all come to pass. So pray, beloved, because this is one of those things where I believe there's much more spiritual things happening behind the scenes than what we would normally, how can I say, acknowledge. Remember when Daniel was praying and said for 20 or 21 days he didn't get a response from God? He continued to pray, and then when the angel came to minister to Daniel, he said to Daniel, no, he had to fight to break through, and it took him this long to basically bring the message to Daniel so that Daniel could know what God has to say. And at the end of the conversation that Daniel had with this messenger of God, he says he now has to go and to fight the prince of Persia. But he can't fight him by himself. He's going to do it, but when he had to break through to come and bring the message to Daniel, I think it was Michael, the archangel, or the Michael, the one that looks over Israel. I can't remember exactly. I think it was Michael. I don't think it was Gabriel. But anyway, I'll have to look it up and just share it with you again. But because I'm kind of just shooting from the hip now. But he said one of the greater angels, you know, had to come and help him so that he could break through and give Daniel the answer. That God has given him and answered his prayer already when he started praying. When he prayed the first time, God answered him and he sent the angel to bring the message to Daniel. But he was withheld until one of the greater angels helped him. And at the end of the day, when he was done with Daniel, he said, now he has to go back to fight the prince of Persia. And he wasn't talking about the king of Persia, you know, the flesh and blood king. That's what he was talking about. It's like today, we're not talking about the Ayatollah Khomeini. That's not the person that we are fighting. We're not fighting any dictator. We're not fighting any, any physical human being, a person that has a wicked, evil heart and that's doing evil, wicked things. That's not, our fight is not with that person. Our fight is with the spiritual forces and the evil spirits and the hierarchies in the spiritual realm that submits themselves to Satan. That's who we are fighting. That's the war we're involved in. We know there's a spiritual war. So when it comes to Israel, and we see how the nations of the world are turning against Israel, Jesus said it was going to happen. Scripture prophesies that these things is going to happen. So we shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't be caught off guard when these things happen. Because we've been warned from Scripture long time ago that these things were going to happen. But at the same time, we need to understand that this is a spiritual battle. So which spirit, if I can use that name, you say it like that, which spirit is at work now in the Middle East? And is it God's will? Because if it is, then we can pray that God will, his will be done in Israel, and that he will give them the strength to be able to go through this, and even the Arab nations. But if this is not in the will of God, in the sense that it's premature or whatever, then we can pray and ask God that he will rebuke those forces behind the scenes. Beloved, because at the end of the day, we're living in amazing times, but also dangerous times. We're living in a time in history where could I say, things are happening that we've never ever seen before. But the escalation of these things is also just so far beyond our understanding. Right. I think I'm going to leave it there. Otherwise, I'm going to take too much time. But I hope that just looking at these, some of these events or some of these things just from a biblical perspective, that it helps us to understand that, beloved, we are believers. We are in the kingdom of God, even though we're not physically there yet, but spiritually we're part of the kingdom of God, which means we are in this world, but we're not of this world. We've got a different king. We've got a different set of rules. The principles of the kingdom is what we live by. So, and as we live by these things and we look at the world and we see what's happening in the world around us, what a privilege that we have God's word to look at these things and say, wow, we can see how we have been warned long time ago, long, long time, to know that we may know what is happening, because it's not a battle against anybody physical. This is a spiritual battle. And the battle needs to be won on spiritual terms. It's the same in South Africa on the political scene. There's a spiritual battle going on, and it's tangible. It's tangible. So, Heavenly Father, I come to you this moment to pray that you will please give us the ability to discern, to be able to see where does all these things come from, who's responsible, so that we can be able to pray effectively, but pray right, pray the way that you want us to pray. But Father, also to be able to see things from a biblical perspective. I pray for wisdom, that we will not go overboard. But I pray, Father, that you will enable us to see what we need to see and glorify you, because we can see through what is happening that you are in 100% control. What a blessing to know that you're in control. So, Father, we commit ourselves into your hands. We commit our country into your hands, our political situation, the politicians. And we commit Israel into your hands, praying for the peace of Jerusalem, for the peace over the nation of Israel, over the, how can I say, the people of Israel, and Father, in the region, that your will be done for your glory. And we also pray, Father, that you will enable us to pray correctly when we pray about these things. Thank you for showing us things that is important for us to know and to understand. And we pray that your name be glorified. God willing, till we see one another again. As we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, thank you very much for listening. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. And may he give you his peace as we take God's word and we look at the world around us through his word. God willing, until next time, bye-bye.